Welcome to another episode of the Anime Syndicate. My name is Frank, and I'm joined here with Josh.
Yo, what up?
All right, so I know we promised that this episode we'd be talking about Jujutsu Kaisen, but we did kind of forget about another project that we did, that being Solo Leveling. So we decided to do that first before we jumped into JJK head first.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. And honestly, this is the first time we're doing an anime that we both saw relatively close to each other.
Oh, true. Yeah. Because normally it's like I've watched it years after you watched it.
You watched it like right away.
Yeah, that's true.
Or recently, I should say.
Yeah. All right. So before we get into that, if you like all of our stuff, you can follow us at Game Rage Magazine on Instagram and TikTok, at Game Rage Mag on Twitter/X. And you can go to GameRageMagazine.com where you can hear a multitude of all of our other podcasts that we have. All right.
So, Solo.
So, Solo Leveling. I know this is the Anime Syndicate, and this is technically not an anime, but it's still something I would like to talk about on this.
Okay.
Being that this is, there's a name for it, because it's a Korean-based manga slash, there's a special name for it. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, so it's not, like, anime is not the right word?
No. Well, yes, anime can mean animation, but we made the whole distinction that anime is the specific name for a Japanese animation.
Right, okay. For Japanese animation. So I'm assuming there's got to be another name for what would be a, you know, Chinese animation, or like you said, Korean, or maybe even what other countries make anime or animation, I guess.
Well, I guess America did with Ruby.
I guess that's true. So then what's that called? Just a
It's still called a cartoon, yeah.
That's weird.
I guess people call it Hangul.
What's that translate to?
Animation.
Oh, just like straight animation.
I guess so. And there's the one for the mangas too, but I think they just call it animated books, or not animated books, but like comic books.
Oh, yeah. All right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So this anime was 12 episodes. Season one. It came out.
If I remember correctly, it was made by a Japanese company, though.
It's an anime. Well, I mean, it does say on the Wikipedia here that it's an anime television series based on the South Korean web novel of the same name, A1 Pictures, which is a Japanese animation studio. So, I mean, the source material, while it's not Japanese, this is technically an anime because it was made by a Japanese company. So, technically,
That same logic, would the first season of what was it called? The Star Wars ones.
Oh yeah, Visions. Yeah, that's anime. I feel like that's, man, we should do an episode on those.
Was it by the way, one of the guys wearing a shirt from the rock band one, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The one with Jabba the
Hutt. Oh, champion? Yeah.
What was the name of the band?
Ah, man, I don't remember because it's been so long.
He had a shirt that had the name on it.
Yeah.
It looked like a legit rock band shirt. So
cool. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Wait, hold on, your mic's not going.
That?
There it is. Okay.
I had my hand covered. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, that was weird. What was I saying? This wasn't the first, because it's, I'm going to say with Ruby, I remember people were saying that was the first American animation that was officially recognized as an anime, and that was made by Rooster Teeth at the time.
Right.
So it's not, there was no Japanese hands in that, and it was considered an anime. I mean, I love anime and I love Ruby, but I wouldn't consider Ruby an anime.
Yeah, probably not.
It does have anime tropes, but that's just good storytelling.
True. It's American animation.
Yeah.
American nation.
You know, what's the name of that one? Scott Pilgrim. The guy who made that, the comic books, he did it as a manga.
Huh.
So, like, if you buy the books, they're even backwards. So you have to read it like a manga.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I guess let's just get into it then, right?
So before we do that, what were your overall thoughts?
Oh.
Because this was the first thing I got you to do, watch as an isekai before we started doing Overlord.
That's true, but I like we had said, this is a as the name of the episode indicates, this is a reverse isekai, because isekai comes to us essentially. Mm-hmm. Well,
that's what Gate was.
Yeah, that's but true.
It's an isekai in the sense that the majority of the show takes place in the other world. True. Where this one, the majority of the show takes place in our world.
I feel like isekai is like you get transported there and then like you don't have a choice.
Well, like SAO, you can't come back. SAO is an isekai and that's not.
Yeah, but in the first season, like you didn't have a choice. Like you couldn't leave until you completed whatever like objective.
Okay, that was Hack, which was one of the first isekais. It was the same thing as SAO, but you could log in and log out.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I feel like isekai is like you get transported there, and like you can't like, just come
saying,
back at
you
will.
You keep saying things like that. Like you keep trying to change the definition of an isekai to make it fit so you can still say you hate isekai.
I do hate isekai.
But yet you like the Overlord, you like Gate, you like Digimon, you like this. You're going to like Slime. You have no choice about that.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
You have no choice about that.
Why do I have no choice?
Friendship.
Oh, so you're saying we're done if I can't, if I don't like.
It's legitimately my top five favorite animes. I literally binged the whole new season just so I can watch the new episode fresh.
Oh, man. All right. Well, either way.
Are you looking up the definition of an isekai?
Yeah, I am. I just want to be sure. And really, I guess we're both right because it's not. It's either you get reincarnated into another world, mm-hmm. which that one you don't have a choice. Like, obviously, you can't go back and forth because you're reincarnated.
One of the ones I'm watching right now, there's actually an ability where they're. Okay, so you know how every isekai has to have the guy, the main character, and usually a bunch of girls fall in love with him. Like,
yeah.
Harem is the wrong choice in this, but it's harem esque.
Yeah.
In this one, the two girls that are. One's a dragon, one's a huge spider demon.
Okay.
And they just found out that he could gain the ability to teleport himself back to his own world eventually.
Uh-huh.
But doing so could cause one of the worlds to be destroyed or something like that.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So in looking this up, I found another anime that I don't think either of us, I'm you might have seen it, but I definitely have not seen this.
Because I was about to bring one up, so maybe.
It's called Sorceress Stabber Orphan.
No.
And it was from May of 1994. Its original run was May of 94 to September of 2003 as a light novel. But it did get its own anime slash, I don't know what you want to call it. It was 1998. It got its own. Oh, it looks like they rebrought it back in 2020. But this was the, it looks like it was an original, maybe this was the original, like, main isekai. I don't know why I brought this up in here.
It wouldn't be the first. I think the first official isekai was Dot Hack.
When was that created? Let's see. What was the first isekai? Oh, here we go.
Spirited Away.
Really?
2001.
Well, shit, this was before that. This was made in 98.
This says 1983's Aura Battler Divine. It was made in 1983.
Aura Battler Divine. Let's see. Here's a. This is others known as a reverse isekai. Mm-hmm. Follow beings from a fantasy universe who have been transported to modern world. Day Earth.
Well, there's one I really liked. It was a light novel, I think, or a manga. Something overpowered uncle or something like that, where he got isekai'd into another world. Uh-huh. And then he died, and that world got isekai'd back into ours.
Uh-huh.
And like he had been gone for like 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And so he comes back with the mindset of him being in the fantasy world, and he comes back with those powers too.
Dang, that's crazy. Yeah. So, okay, really, it seems as though we weren't. I mean, the concept of isekai has like
been around
in like Japanese literature.
Mm-hmm.
But. Precursors in it being the most notable ones from like English literature, Alice Adventures in Wonderland, 1865, The Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, 1889, The Wizard of Oz, 1900, Peter Pan, 1904, because they get transported, you know.
Well, Peter Pan, they got forcibly taken.
They got abducted, but you know, but well, that's kind of happens in some of the isekais too. You don't have a choice. You just
the one I was just talking about, the guy with the dragon and girl thing.
Yeah.
It's funny. His parents got reverse isekai. They died in that world. They came back to ours. And then in our world, got transported to their world because some kind of program that, where they swap between gods.
Uh-huh.
So he was supposed to become the hero in this world.
Oh.
But the goddess hated him because he was ugly. So she cursed him and he ended up becoming the most powerful thing on the planet.
Dang. All right. So there's two schools of thought.
There's probably hundreds.
Well, okay. So there's one that says basically this one, this source. Oh, no, wait, that's a different one. They're characterizing this one that I just said as being one of the first anime, but I'm trying to find these other. Because Super Mario is technically an isekai.
The movie?
Well, they get transported to another world.
I'm going to say it has to be the movie because in the games they don't get transported.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, there's World 1, World 2, but those are just levels.
Yeah.
But we're getting off topic here.
Yeah, well, we're going on a deep dive, I guess, on anime. But anyways.
Well, it's isekai.
Isekais, yeah.
Well, not to bring it up to this other anime, this other isekai that I really, really love.
Uh-huh.
Or, yeah, like Jobless Reincarnation.
Uh-huh.
It's about this guy who's like, he's the typical Japanese shonen.
Okay.
Which is the actual term where otaku came from.
Uh-huh.
Was someone who never leaves their house.
Right, okay.
This guy never leaves his room because he got bullied. His life was horrible.
Yeah.
Ended up becoming a class S fucking pervert. Like, he's, when his family came in, his parents died and his brother came in to kick him out.
Okay.
And, like, the scene literally shows them kicking him out. And, like, he looks at it. He just happens to look at his computer monitor and his face just gets green. Like, oh, my God, he's so sick.
Uh-huh.
As he gets thrown out, he dies in a car accident trying to save somebody. And so he gets reincarnated into this new world, but as a baby. He literally goes through the birthing process.
Oh, okay.
And from a baby, he has his original memories.
Interesting.
So he as the show's literally, he's like 14, 15 years right now. But the show follows him when he's a baby, going up to a kid, learning magic and all this shit. And he's still that class-ass pervert. It gets curved.
Uh-huh.
But this kind of brings up the same problem I had with the other isekai, the one that you used to like, Shield Hero.
Okay.
Where Natalia is a child throughout the beginning of the season, but then becomes an adult-ish 18-year-old girl, but not because she aged to that, but because she got powerful enough, her body changed.
Yeah, she leveled up, basically.
But she still has that mind of the 14-year-old, the 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And then she's having the whole like romantic talks with the main character. And I'm like, that's a touchy subject for me. That still kind of falls under lowly for me.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, this is a, at the point we are right now, this guy is 14 years old as in this new world.
Uh-huh.
Combined that maybe he was like 30 or late 20s in his original world.
Okay.
So he essentially has the mind of a 50-year-old in a 14-year-old's body. And he's literally, like straight up, he has sex with a 14-year-old girl.
That's weird.
He was a 14-year-old boy.
That's still weird.
But he has the mind of that 50-year-old, right?
Okay. It's still weird.
It's still weird, right?
Yeah, it's still weird.
And then he ends up having, again, with his childhood friend. And he's married to her now, and they're about to have their first kid.
Uh-huh.
Again, he's like 15, 16 at this point. But, like, to me, he still has the mind of a 50-year-old, so is that still...
Yeah, that's weird, man. I don't know if I get down with that.
But don't get me wrong. Like, literally everything else about this show is 100%. The action is great. The magic system is great. The storytelling is great. But damn, it's like, I don't know, man. That's, I love the show, but that's a hard hurdle for me.
Yeah, that's a hard sell. Anyway, I think there's an anime. I think we should watch this one, this Sorceress Stabber Orphan. And then potentially, let me see the original 98 run. Had, God, that's a lot of episodes. Had like 50 episodes. But this other one, Aura Battler Dundine.
I type in SORC and it already came up.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Yeah, this Aura Battler Dunbean or whatever.
I seen this one.
Which one?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, you seen that one?
Yeah, I think it went by a different name in America.
Yeah, maybe. What about Aura Battler Dunbean? Which is from 1983.
Again, I type in Aura as the first thing that came up.
Because this is supposedly like the first one. Like the real like first. Like if you talk about modern.
This looks old as hell.
Yeah, it's from 1983. Like, this is from the 80s.
Yeah. Well, I just honestly, this is giving me vibes of another anime that I really like. Look up Escaflowne.
Oh yeah, I've seen some Escaflowne stuff.
That's like one of my favorite. That was literally the first mecha anime I've ever saw.
Mm. Yeah, this is kind of like that because they're like fighting suits. They're kind of like mecha a little bit. So.
Well, that's also cool too because those mechas were powered by the heart of a dragon.
Man, that's cool. All right, like the storyline, the premise. The story is set in Bystin Well, a parallel world that resembles the countryside of medieval Europe with kingdoms ruled by monarchs and castles, armies of unicorn-riding cavalry armed with swords and crossbows, and little winged creatures called Ferrarios, flying about offering help or hindrance depending on their mood. The main draw to the series were the insect-like aura battlers used by the population of the Bystin Well to fight their wars. They're fighting suits that are powered by a powerful energy called aura, or life energy. Certain people are strong enough with the energy to act as power supplies to these mecha, making them aura warriors. So, interesting. I don't know. Maybe we should check this out and see if it's in. Like, it's going to be terrible because it's from the 80s, but maybe the concept.
Hey, so is Berserk.
That's true.
Wait,
that's
no, true. Late 90s.
That's true. It did get an English dub, so we'll see. But anyways, all right. On to Solo Leveling. Now that we've mucked about. We've been fucking about. So, all right. Yeah, Solo Leveling.
So what were your overall thoughts since, you know, again, this falls under the Isekai umbrella.
This one was pretty good. I actually enjoyed this one. And maybe it's because he's still living in the real world more.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's probably more of why I liked it better, because it wasn't deep Isekai. It's of the same. They're in the same ballpark, right? Because there's different.
It falls under the current of Isekai. Yeah,
there's different like degrees of Isekai, I guess.
But it's still
like
an Isekai.
Subgenres of Isekai, which this would be a different one of subgenres of it, but it still falls under the Isekai drama, or not drama, subgenre or genre or whatever. So yeah, but I actually like this one. I'm really excited for season two because like the concept to me was sound of these things come from another world. They're here. They open up randomly and adventurers got to go and like do shit to them. And once you have your power level, that's it. Like you can't, there's no leveling.
Like him, he was the weakest of the week.
Literally the weakest one. And then he unlocked, it's like a video game. So it's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm in a simulation now. Like, what is this? Like, so I can't wait to see how this progresses further. But well, I guess we can talk about that at the end after we go through the show itself. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. This was a really good one. What'd you think about it?
Yeah, same. I mean, don't get me wrong. The first episode wasn't really that. Even though they were in the dungeon, it wasn't as action-packed.
Yeah.
The real action-packed shit doesn't happen until like mid-season.
Yeah, that's true. It's just kind of more narrative. It's like setting up the story.
There's action. It's enough to wet the tongue, if you will.
Yeah. But keeps you interested.
But that fucking, like those last two episodes, man.
Oh, yeah, man. They took the cake. They were action-packed. So, all right. So basically, you got this guy Jinwoo, who's episode one. We get introduced to everything, and Jinwoo is like the weakest of the hunters, right? So there's the main concept is that there's these what do they call them? They're not called, are they called gates?
Yeah, I think no. Wait,
what do they call them? I don't remember. Dungeon gates. So they have these dungeon gates that just appear randomly throughout the world. And basically
they have like 7 days or 14 days.
There's like a certain time frame depending on the level of the dungeon.
Yeah. And then once you pass that time, it opens up and then they can come into our world.
Yeah. So you have to complete the dungeon in a certain amount of time, or the things in the dungeon can then come into our world. Like they can't pass through the portal into our realm unless the time frame is passed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to hunters that get hired basically to go, and they're in like these little, you know, it's like they're little squads or whatever, little hunter groups. And there's multiple different guilds and they have like little squads and they're all kind of ranked together by like, you know, what is it like A, B, C, D?
Well, yeah, it's the same, the whole Japanese ranking system. Like, I don't know how low, I think D was the, or C or D was, think, the lowest.
Yeah, D was the lowest, or maybe there was even E. I think he was in E class.
Yeah, so E, so it goes E, D, F.
F. Wait.
No.
Yeah, no. F.
So E would be the lowest.
E
lowest.
And then D and then C, B, and A.
And then S.
Yeah, S is like the top.
For some reason, the S is like the highest in Japanese, like,
yeah,
hierarchy, I guess.
Like super class, I guess. I don't know what that means, but.
But then that's by English terms.
True. Maybe that's the influence we've had.
I mean, we did drop two nukes on them.
That's true. So Yeah, so anyway, so there's these classes. Well, so.
But then again, this isn't a Japanese thing. It's a Korean thing.
That's true. So, I mean, that's kind of a video game thing, too. All the RPGs, it's like your whatever class is like, or if you do rankings and you fight or whatever, you get like A through F, and then S is like the top tier, you know.
But that comes from JRPGs, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, like, maybe that's what they're, because this is kind of like a game, basically, that is somehow, this is in simulation. I don't know.
I don't know if it was localization or not, but like Final Fantasy didn't have that for the longest time.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But that could have just been like said Square Enix handed it over to who was the American publisher for it? Distributor?
Squaresoft or something? Was that what it's called?
Whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe they localized it to be A being the top and rid of S and maybe added another to the bottom tier.
No, maybe. But yeah, so basically it's kind of explaining this whole thing about hunters and everybody has this like fixed power level and then that's it. So you got to go into these things and you got to beat the boss. So if you're like the low class rank like this dude, you're basically like a mule. Like you just carry the gear, you carry all the fucking bullshit, all the whatever prizes that they get, like, you know, the loot that gets dropped, they carry it. And so basically they go through this thing, they kill the boss of the dungeon and it's pretty quick, and then this other thing opens up.
Yeah, so it becomes like a phenomenon of a double dungeon.
Yeah, there's like a double dungeon, so they're trying to figure out like what they should do, so they basically like take a vote on it, and it comes down to this down to the main character, because there's like I think 13 of them.
Yeah, so he was the tiebreaker,
and it's like it's 6-6 and then he's the tiebreaker. And so, of course, it has to come down to the weakest dude. And so he just basically goes like,
I need money.
I need this. Let's do it. So they're like, all right. So they go in, and that's when they get into this, like, they finally get there. It took them, like, I don't remember how long, like, multiple hours to walk through the tunnel system to get to the second actual.
That was the other thing I wanted to ask. Like, in the beginning of the episode, before they went into the tunnel, the gate. You know, when he shows up and it was like, oh, look, it's the weakest hunter, whatever. Like,
yeah.
They're all joking with him. But, like, legitimately, it didn't feel like they were teasing him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of felt like.
It's like the friendly, like, you know, oh, like, that's just who he is. Like, oh, hey, man, like, it's the.
Like, it seemed like they were even looking out. Like, hey, man, did you make sure to eat today?
Yeah, like, that's his role. And, like, they know, like, hey, this dude's super weak. So, like, oh, he's got to carry all our shit and whatever. We need to protect him. Mm-hmm. So. Basically they find this room and it's got all these fucking, these giant like statues and all this shit in it. Right. And there's this big giant, I don't know, like demon king or something.
Fucking creepiest smile.
Oh yeah. Just sitting in this giant throne.
What does it smile after the activation?
Oh yeah, that's true. So basically there's these like angel statues or whatever. And the one has these like commandments on it basically. And so he's the first one that figures out. Cause this, oh yeah, that's true. He is the only one that figures out that they got to follow these commandments to survive. It's like instructions for surviving the dungeon.
Which should have been a hard stretch in reality. If you think about it, if you read up a tomb and say, hey, pay tribute to God, sing his praises, whatever.
Yeah.
That's weird. Oh, these statues of God are coming to life. I should probably do what the stone told me to do.
Yeah, I should probably do this or whatever.
Nobody, I guess, I don't know, it's kind of like, this is one anime, it's called, Psychopaths.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that one.
It's a society where, like, crime is damn near zero.
Uh-huh.
And, like, because they have this sensor stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's able to analyze your brain.
Yeah, your thing's not going. Hit it, like, tap it. There you go, all right. Yeah, you're good. Keep talking.
So, society is, there's these sensors. Is it still doing it?
Yeah, it's.
Well, let me disconnect it and reconnect it.
All right, now plug it back in. All right.
Testing, 1, 2. I'm hearing something.
Yeah, you're good. All right.
I think the headphones are playing or something because I can hear a feedback.
Yeah, no, the headphones are on, so.
Yeah, I was saying because I can hear a feedback.
Yeah. All right.
Good?
I think it's just the cables. I ordered new cables, so they were pretty cheap. So hopefully that fixes this problem. Because I don't think it's the microphones, because it doesn't.
Hopefully we won't be having this problem for much longer, right?
That's true, because we'll just be using the other things. But anyways, all right, go ahead.
But anyway, in this society, they have sensors and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Where, in Psychopaths,
yeah,
it determines if you're going to do a criminal act. It determines if you have a psychic, the ability to turn evil, to start killing people, to start doing these crimes. There's a level for it. I forgot. I think it's called a psycho level or whatever. And once you reach a pass a certain threshold, the cops come and arrest you and take you to a special facility.
Yeah.
Eliminate you from society. And so the crime rate is damn near zero. And there's this group of people that develop a special ability where the sensors can't read them.
Oh.
So they're like psychos. Yeah. It's a psychopath.
Oh, okay.
They can be as psychotic as they want. Nothing can.
They can't do anything about it.
Because the cops are, the specialized cops are meant to hunt these people down. Is that fire alarm again?
What? Is that? Hold on.
Remember, we've been having the.
Man, that whatever that was that drove by, like, must have really rattled the car.
So anyway, so they have the ability not to be sensed. And the cops that are designed to hunt these people, it's so fucked up. Because the more you think like a criminal, the higher your level goes.
Oh.
Because you're starting to think like them, act like them. So being a detective is a very dangerous job. Because
eventually you're going
to Because you have
that.
To think like them to hunt them down.
Yeah.
And so that's what happens. And once you pass that certain level, you're a criminal.
Okay.
And so what they do is they let the criminals have these specialized guns. These things are fucking cool. And like it reads your level. He's only 30% stunned. So at 30, 40%, you could be rehabilitated.
Yeah, yeah.
He's over 50%. Switch to kill mode. Oh, there's no saving this fucker.
Damn.
And so the cops find this guy. He's literally stabbing the girl's best friend in front of her. And she can't do anything because the thing's like 0%. Damn. 0%, you can't do shit. And then one of the other guys literally goes into the middle of town square where everybody's like passing by and he just shoots some chick in the head and just starts butchering her. And literally everybody's like, this is unusual. Man, there's just no reaction because that's the way the society is now. That crime is so low. It's like, the fuck is this? Like,
wow.
It was like an oddity.
Yeah.
And this has something to do with what we're talking about for solo leveling. I lost it. What are we talking about?
We were talking about the throne room that they were in and then...
No, that's right. So I was thinking like, has critical thinking left them? Because all they know is levels.
That's true.
Is that why they weren't able to make some such simple connections between the puzzle and the rules? But he was because he's so weak that he has to be smart enough to survive.
Yeah, that's true. He can't brute force anything, so...
He has to figure shit out. He has to be smart enough to survive. Where these guys like, no, this dungeon is for level B people. For level C. We're level Bs. Whatever.
We don't even need to think about it.
We don't even have to think about it. But this was a puzzle. So they're wondering, do they not deal with dungeons that have puzzles?
Maybe that would lead me to believe that they don't.
So what I'm saying, like, in like a psychopath, because crime is such a non-thought that they don't even react to a brutal murder and butchering like normal people would.
Yeah.
Is it this way where they couldn't react to normal rules because they don't have to worry about thinking about that?
Very well could be.
And the only reason he was is because, I have to take all information and do what I can to survive with it.
Yeah, because there is no other option for me. I have to outsmart things in order to stay alive, basically.
And it's not that he's smarter than the other hunters. It's that he has...
He has to look at it from a completely different lens.
Yeah.
Because if there's an enemy coming at him, he can't just pull out a sword and fight it because nothing will happen.
9 times out of 10, it's probably going to kill him.
Right. So he's got to survive by being...
Okay. If I move this way, he's going to run into the wall. Then I can stab him.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way I'm going to be... Because I'm not stronger than this thing.
Right, yeah.
So where these people are like, it's a B-rank monster. It's a C-rank monster. I'm B. I'm good.
Easily.
It's a C-rank monster. I'm C-rank. I have a chance.
Right, yeah.
So he doesn't have that option. So I'm wondering, like I said, that's where I feel is... What's the word? Okay, like in My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
The main character, Deku, is... He was born without a quirk, which is how they call the powers in their world.
Right.
It's like 80% of the world has quirks. And he spent his entire life studying heroes because he's so enamored with heroes like we are with comic books.
Right.
Like, if Batman was real, we'd probably be making shrines to him.
Yeah.
And he made a journal. He studies everything. And it came to the point where he knew more about heroes than heroes knew about themselves.
Damn.
And yeah, he ends up getting powers because All Might gives him his quirk.
Yeah.
And I thought it was don't know, like that was a cop out because I think it would have been great to see him become the world's greatest hero with no powers, right? Like Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever. The show that is great. But he can't control his power. So every time he uses All Might's power, say to throw a punch, shatters all the bones in his bones, his arms and muscles get teared up.
Yeah.
So he can't control it. So he ends up not using it a lot in the beginning. And there's an episode where he's fighting Bakugo, who's his quirk is explosions. He sweats nitroglycerin and is able to ignite it to create explosions. And he's fucking great. He can use it to fly. He can use it to do great maneuvers. It's like he was built to be a hero. And that went to his fucking head. Because everybody around him was telling him to be a hero.
Huh.
That he was great. So Deku, not being able to use his power, the rule was that you can capture them using tape. Because in our school, they're training.
Yeah.
Or you can secure the bomb. There's the hero team and the villain team. Deku was on the hero. He was on the villain. And all Bakugo can think of is this little shit. He has a quirk. He hid it for me. He thinks he's better than me. And Deku was like, I'm going to die.
Right, yeah.
And so literally the first scene where he comes up to him, it's just, you shit nerd, you think you're better than me. And he instantly went to his knowledge of all of what Bakugo can do. And he says, wait, you always lead with the right arm. That's always your opening move. Boom, grabs him and Hapkido throws him over.
Yeah.
And in the same move, tries to wrap him up with the tape to instantly eliminate him. Didn't use his power. It's just his knowledge of studying heroes.
Yeah.
And I love that trope. I love that kind of thing. That's why Batman's my favorite hero. So that's why I think I kind of like this one too, because he was following that same line of thinking, but then again, he gets the power and then it's great. He's going to be successful with this power.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have the power and that mindset where he has to outthink everything, even though he's gaining the power to where we see it later on, like when he goes to hell, that infernal world.
Yeah.
That thing was stronger than him, but he beat it by being smart. So that's why I'm liking about this character too, is because sure he has power, but his greatest strength right now is his ability to think outside the box.
Yeah.
And knock him out the box.
True, sorry. And so I think that getting into the theories about this thing, like I kind of think that they're all NPCs and he got like, that's why they can't level. He got, when he accepted that quest, it was a quest that allowed an NPC to become, because it asked him if he wants to become a player.
Yeah.
So like it gave an NPC the ability to become a player.
So you like a player character. You think he awoken from the Matrix?
Yeah. It was like something that anybody could do if they found it, whatever, a hidden quest that has this.
That's an interesting theory. That's an interesting idea. Because you know how the Matrix is. I'm talking about Keanu Reeves' movie.
Yeah.
Not the Andrew Tate bullshit thing. Are the people who jump into the Matrix, are they the players now? And every other human who is unaware of the system, the NPC?
Yeah, basically. So, like, that's kind of what I think this is probably going to turn into. Like,
you think everybody's human, it's just that they're not aware of it.
They're not aware. It's like, this is a simulation or whatever. So, they're basically just being utilized as NPCs.
So, you think he didn't break the simulation? He was gonna, but the simulation's like, hey, become the new god.
Well, I think that the simulation was like, oh, this is a hidden quest that will... It's like the simulation allowing a level playing field, saying, oh, you're all just basically NPCs, but we're going to have this hidden shit where you can potentially become, you know, whatever, like you said, the new god or whatever.
Or do you think it's like Goblin Slayer, in the sense that the theory is that Goblin Slayer and all the other people are fucking, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Are, whatchamacallit? Because it's based, from what I understand, it's based off of third edition of Dungeons and Dragons.
Uh-huh.
That each one of them is a player character.
Oh, okay.
Like, and Goblin Slayer is just rolling 20s.
Man. Yeah.
To explain why someone so weak is yet so great.
Yeah.
And because if you watch the intro for the first season,
uh-huh,
literally the dice being rolled.
Huh.
Each action.
Oh, that's interesting.
So the theory is that they're all player characters.
Yeah.
But they're being controlled by a god, you know? Which is right. Us.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
I say us because we have another show called Slice of Dice, where we all like to get together and play.
Oh, yes, that's true. And you can check that out whenever you want to hear it, because it's going to be up. Well, I mean, yeah, I'll put them.
So we still have to do the recap.
Yeah, I was going to tell you. We'll talk about that afterwards. So. Wait. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, sure. Here, I'll pause it real quick. All right, so we're back. Now, we were talking about the solo leveling or whatever, obviously. And he was at the point where he was in the dungeon. And second dungeon. And they had dungeon. To find these, like, three things or whatever. Or
dungeon
they had to
square.
Dungeon square. Yeah, they had to do these three things or whatever that the tablet said. He figured it out. And so basically everybody gets killed with the exception of him.
And a couple.
And the two, Chi Yul and Ju He, which is...
No, a couple more survived. Remember, it was enough to watch every guardian, but they all chickened out.
Oh, yeah. Those ones left.
Yeah.
Well,
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, anyway, so he's he basically is... He figures out what they got to do. A lot of them get killed. Then basically everybody leaves. And then once they leave, there's only the three of them left. It's Chi Yul, Ju He, which is the girl, and she's like passed out or whatever.
No, it wasn't passed out. She had a mental breakdown.
Yeah, she had like a mental breakdown or something. And then so
again, they must have never felt true fear because they all broke down real fucking quick after one person. Sure, he died very fucking brutally, but
yeah.
I mean, technically, these guys are basically soldiers.
That's true.
So the fact that they must have not have seen death for them to react in the way they did.
Yeah, probably not.
So which tells me again that they don't have that mindset to this. You're not here to play a game. He will be. But even he's not playing the game yet.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And so it's like. So I don't think you. They don't have that mindset where, hey, it's like I'm in war. I'm in a battle for my life right now.
Yeah.
To them, this was just...
Oh, it's another day.
It's an adventure. It's,
yeah.
I'm here to have fun. And I get paid to do it.
Yeah.
Where Jinwoo is like, I am... What's that fucking Diddy? Was it Diddy? Where he was having that interview. I'm fighting for my life.
Yeah, yeah. And could die at any time, basically. Yeah. So,
So that's why, shows why he was able to keep a level... head compared to even their fucking guy that was the leader who had the most experience.
Yeah.
He was like freaking, he even was asking him, what do we do next? What do we do next?
Right, yeah. And so then basically Jinwoo just tells him like, all right, man, like you got to get her out of here. I'll hold the thing because that's what they figured out.
You're jumping ahead. Because
The first one was to revere God, which they had to bow.
Bow.
And then the second one was to praise God, which they had to
blow the horns
or whatever.
Each one that had a musical instrument.
Yeah.
And then
the third one was to prove your faith to God. Which was
to all of them to stand in that center thing and look at each statue.
Yeah. And as they looked at them, the doors started to close as they left. And so then there was only the three of them. So the doors were still kind of open. Barely.
But there weren't enough eyes to keep the other statues from moving.
Yeah. So then that's when he was like,
also when he lost his leg too.
Right. Yeah. So they basically said, you two go, I'll hold them off. And so that's basically what he did is them two run out. He's the last one left and they're all on. They're going to kill him. Like
this was his breaking point. This is where he like basically left the point where it's like, I'm the weakest one. And I'm the one that had to stay behind because all you motherfuckers cowered. I was the weakest one.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that stood the longest. I was the one that was the bravest. The second strongest was the first one to quit.
Yeah, basically.
And then he's like, he was literally cursing everybody because they were strong and didn't do anything with that power.
Yeah, so they just are fucking him up and he's dying. And so right when he's about to die, he gets this message that says that he's completed a hidden quest and he's now allowed to become a player if he accepts the offer. And he's like, what the fuck? Yes. Like, it's like, you're going to die. And it gives him like a little thing. It's like, oh, you need to decide in like 10 seconds or whatever.
And they also say, oh, if you decline, you're going to die.
Right. Yeah. So he's like, oh, fuck it. He just clicks yes. And then that's like where that episode ends. Number two. So then episode three, he wakes up being asleep for 3 days and he thinks, man, maybe I just fucking dreamt all this shit. Like, there's no way. So then they send out some hunters from the some investigators from the Hunters Association, and they say, "No, man, like that shit was real, bro." Juhi is basically traumatized, and Chi Yul is he retired because, you know, he lost an arm.
Well, he didn't retire though.
Yeah, well, they said he was gonna retire.
It was looking like that, yeah.
Right, yeah. And so they said they were trying to get him to say that he experienced the rare second awakening, which implies that this is something they know about or something that has happened before, obviously, right? Is that a player or that someone can increase their abilities? So they do the test on him, and he still shows as an E-ranked fucking guy or whatever.
If anything, it shows him weaker.
It shows him weaker, yeah. And so they're like, man, this is a waste of time. Like, fuck this dude. So then...
Wait, did we come up with the name for the first episode?
Of what?
Slice of Dice.
I don't think so. Or did we?
Because it has a name and like...
What is it?
They See Me Rolling.
Oh, yeah. That was because we rolled for that. Yeah. I just threw that.
I don't remember coming up with that.
I don't know if we did or not either, but that's just what I might have just done that. Like when I named it.
I got no complaints.
They See Me Rolling. Yeah,
I got no complaints.
That's good. All right. That's a pretty good one. All right. Anyway, so then, he basically goes up and it says, hey, oh, this like the message popped up and says like, hey, by the way, you need to hit these daily goals or else you'll have a penalty.
Basically, it was One Punch Man.
Yeah, he had to run like
1.2 kilometers.
He had to do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and then like
10 kilometers.
Like 10 kilometers, some shit like that.
I don't know, some kind of commie number.
Yeah, so then he
wait, what was it? What is it in freedom units?
I don't know, I think it's like
hold on, let's
8
see.
Mile.
Solo leveling. What was it called? Daily what?
It's like his daily goals. Like daily fitness goals or something.
Let's
like
see.
That.
It's, oh, damn it. Oh, whatever. 10 kilometers.
All right. So, yeah, what is that in?
10 kilometers to America, to freedom. Miles, right?
Yeah.
It's 6.2 miles.
Okay, so he's got to run 6.2 miles.
This is all lesser than what Saitama did. Or no, he did 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, and ran 10 kilometers. Yeah, I think this is the exact same thing.
Hmm. Yeah, so then once he does all that, or he fucks off the first day because he's like, whatever.
And he didn't know the repercussions and stuff. He didn't know he would be transported to Dune.
Yeah, basically he gets transported to Dune and those doosies get him. They go after him. And he basically has to run.
For like 12 hours
or something like that. And he's just like, holy shit. And so then the countdown timer finally reaches zero in the Dune doosie fucking
universe
world. And he gets transported back to his bed. And he's like...
With some sand, so yeah. You know it was real.
So he knows it was real, and he's like, oh, fuck this. Fuck that noise. And then literally the next day, that's like the first thing he does.
Like, dude, fucking, I'm a fucking fat ass. I'm not fit. But I'm like, I could do that.
Yeah.
10 squats, what is it?
100 push-ups, 100 push-ups.
If I
squats.
Just dedicate my entire day to that, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
It's going to suck, but I could do it. And he's like, I'm going to fucking, like me, that's the other thing. We live in a universe where we're gamers.
Yeah.
I see that shit. I'm seeing abnormal shit. I'm going to take it serious.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, oh, shit, this is real.
Yeah.
So then he basically starts doing that. Wait. And that's when he gets like the loot boxes and stat bonuses.
So if you're doing the daily bonus thing.
Yeah.
So it says 100 pushups. So if you do Marine Corps pushups, that still only counts as one or does it count as two?
Well, no, it just said 100 push-ups. So, then.
But I'm saying if you're doing it, you're counting them as 1, 2, 3, 1.
Yeah, it's 2 push-ups.
But it's 1 Marine Corps push-up.
Yeah, but remember, as he was going down, it's counting it. Remember on his little timer.
Now, what if you're doing like, I hate using this term, but girl push-ups or half cock push-ups?
I mean, it didn't say, it just said push-ups. So, I mean.
What if you do the whole, like, where you put your legs on the fucking couch?
Oh, like up? Oh, maybe it gives you double. I don't know.
No, if you put your legs up because it. You're taking the weight off of your back, so you're able to do push-ups easier.
Oh. I don't know.
So I'm just saying, like, is it going to count a different? Like, if you do diamond push-ups, is it going to give you, like, 2 because it's fucking hard as hell?
Maybe. That's a good question.
Now, if you did 5 kilometers, but with weights?
I don't think it matters. I think it wants you to do the fucking kilometers, so it's like, you need to get this bitch done. Like, it doesn't matter how you do it.
What if you did it on a treadmill?
I don't think it matters. I think that it counts it.
No, but I'm saying, like, because you're not actually moving.
That's true.
So if I stood in place and just jogged in place, would that count?
Maybe.
Who knows?
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
So then he starts doing it, and he gets the stat bonuses, and he gets loot boxes for like completing it.
Yeah, he gets a minor one and a special one
or whatever. So
sometimes,
then,
not always.
Yeah, which has
and then he gets 2 points.
Yeah, like stat points.
Speaking of which, to cross over against Slice of Dice.
Yeah.
Did you ever decide what you're gonna do about for your level up?
Oh no, I didn't.
Because remember, you still have 2 stat points or a feat.
Yeah, that's true. I still haven't decided yet, but I got time since we're doing Warhammer this week. Mm-hmm. And maybe next week, depending on how it goes. So I might have 2 weeks to decide, but either way, I'm going to pick this week and figure out what I want to do. Because I was looking shit up last week and then I got sidetracked. But anyways, like we're getting sidetracked now with solo leveling. But what was I saying? So yeah, he does that. And he gets an instance dungeon key is what it's called. That's the first thing that he gets. So he says, fuck it, I'm going to just go this.
It's something unique that I've seen for solo leveling.
Yeah.
Where he was able to bring these attacks wherever he was.
Yeah, true.
So he was able to create a dungeon within his own world.
But it was separated. So like in this one, he makes it into a subway.
Yeah.
It was still the subway map. It was still the same subway, but it was changed to be like that other world. So it had the monsters, it had the loot. It changed how everything looked too. It was all just dissipated and destroyed.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really fucking cool. Like, there was this one thing that came out a long ass time ago when we were kids.
Yeah.
It was something similar where like you were to make a map of like, say you were jogging and you were to create like a level. It was like some kind of toy.
Yeah.
But it fucking failed on. I didn't even think it made it to distribution.
Oh, damn. Anyways, so then basically he fights this wolf monster that's like the strongest thing he's ever fought. And
oh, the Iron Tooth?
Yeah. And so he kills it and then he gets a level and he's like, oh, sweet. And then
now when leveling up, it's cool. It gives 1 point to all his stats.
Yeah.
Where as opposed to when he does his daily quest,
it's two stats
that he could pick and he was always choosing strength
and intelligence, I think, right?
No, it's just strength.
Oh, he was doubling it up in the strength?
Yeah, because I was rewatching it before we did this, and he was doing it because strength was the easiest to determine, like to see, oh yeah, I am. It is affecting me,
right?
Okay. He doesn't start. I don't think he ever even starts doing it to other stats because he was just relying on his level up to increase it.
Yeah,
because the level one just does all of them.
Right.
Because, as we were watching the abridged version. With the sister bending.
Yeah.
And that one, he was level 34.
Oh.
So that means his stats went up 30 points each.
Yeah. That's crazy.
If you think about it, that's 30 points to every stat. So.
I mean, that's fucking.
I mean, in D&D terms, that's unheard of. Like,
yeah.
20 is the highest you can have in any stat outside of magical items and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, God damn. Like 20. But if you had 20 in dexterity, you're the fastest that a mortal being can ever become.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, like, that's what's interesting about
that. He was putting it into speed, too, wasn't he, later on?
I don't remember.
Because I remember that, like, because he had that speed boost move, and he was like, oh.
Yeah,
that's like the first feat that he got or whatever.
Yeah. Well, no, the first thing he got was titles, remember? Because
that's right.
When he beats his wolf, he got Wolf Assassin.
Yeah, that's right. So then there's more wolves.
And then he also found out that he has the most broken ability that any in Dungeons and Dragons in any Isekai, this is the most broken ability you can ever fucking have. The portable infinite inventory.
Oh yeah.
That's when he finds out that he can pull out inventory shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, yep, that's it. That's where you become a broken character.
Yeah, serious. Cause you could just keep everything.
Yeah.
So then he's in there doing that. He's defeating the boss or whatever. And then outside the dungeon or outside that instance, there's a dungeon break, which is when the dungeon that doesn't get cleared properly and the monsters can come out. So there's some golem that comes into the real world.
I think the way it is that when a dungeon break happens, the boss comes out for the dungeon.
Yeah.
And then if the boss doesn't get defeated, then that's when all the ads can come out too.
Right. Yeah. So then all of these other hunters show up.
It was mixed match because they couldn't get parties. They just,
right.
Hey, it was just whoever you're available.
Was yeah. It was like whoever's closest.
Not, and not only just available, who was willing to come out to do it.
Well, and close too, because they needed to be there, obviously, in a certain with the quickness.
But that's the thing too. Like, we also saw that everybody was talking about it. Oh my God, this thing's in the middle of the road. Can the Hunters take care of it already?
Yeah.
That shit had been there for so long and nobody even tried to clear it. Yeah, and it's true. Just trying to show you, like, again, it's that fucking mindset. I'm S-class. Why the fuck am I going to talk to a C-class fucking dungeon
or whatever? Yeah.
It's about to break. It's beneath me.
Yeah, well, it'll kill everybody then if you don't fucking...
Are those people S-class? No. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. That's terrible. So then Juhi also shows up, the PTSD chick, and none of them are doing shit to this golem. Like, they ain't doing shit to this thing. So... Jinwoo gets basically like guided. He comes out of the instance.
Well, not yet. Well, we still have to touch more about what he did in the dungeon.
Yeah. Okay.
Like he fought those fucking wolves.
Yeah.
And that's when we find out about his infinite loot thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we find out that he has what's his name sword. The guy that arms got cut off.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So he finally defeats the wolf. He levels up like 13 times in this fucking level.
Oh yeah. Like a shit ton.
And that's what we also find out about the names.
That's right, yeah.
If the color of the name, if it's red, it's beyond your level.
Right.
If it's orange, you're at or near its level. If it's green, you're above its level.
Right.
So the wolves were red.
They started off red, yeah.
And then once we saw it later on, they were green.
Yeah.
Because he surpassed them as he leveled up.
Right, right.
And then he goes down and fuck up. I know it's just a fucking snake, but the fucking design of that snake was fucking cool.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty cool.
For that fucking boss.
Yeah.
And again, it was... He was strong. He was not as strong as the snake.
Right.
It was obviously stronger because he had the red tag.
Yeah.
He was thinking about battle. He was being smart about it. Those two things, yeah, kept him alive, but it wasn't going to... It didn't give him the edge.
Right, right.
It was his fucking raw anger and determination combined. Those three things combined allowed him to beat a creature far beyond his level, far beyond his capabilities.
Yeah, true.
Which is something that's always fucking been true in video games. Like,
right. I dropped my glasses on the floor. An asshole.
You blind bitch.
I mean, I can see without them. I just prefer to see better. Anyways.
So he defeats this thing because, yeah, raw grit is what gave him the edge. But if he didn't have his intelligence and the fact that he leveled up 14 times before he got there.
Yeah, true.
All three of these things combined is what gave him the ability to defeat this creature.
Yeah.
Which is something that's true in video games, like I was saying.
Right.
Especially RPGs, which is
what this basically is, yeah.
Like, what's it? Not many games did this in the past where you are blocked from areas.
Yeah.
Because you're not high level enough.
Right.
Nowadays, hey, man, like, especially if you play a Souls game or a From Software game.
Yeah.
You want to go in there? Go for it.
Yeah, go ahead. Just die.
But even if you're like level one and you're fighting these guys, like, if you have enough determination and you figure out the sequences and shit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're always going to beat him, but you're going to have a very good chance.
It levels the playing field.
Yeah, like, so that was cool that we can see that, hey, that works in RPGs, so it's going to work here.
Yeah.
And we saw that he beat this boss that was a good levels above him.
Right.
And what, I think he leveled up twice, like, another 14 levels just by beating that thing.
Yeah, something like that. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and then he gained another title or some shit. Like,
yeah.
Or that's when he gets
that knife. He got that venom poison knife or whatever it was.
Which is something true. Like, holy shit, you beat something way above your level. Yeah, we... RPG Jesus be damned. We got to give you something.
Yeah, you got to get rewarded.
Yeah.
So then, after he gets out of there, that's when he goes... Because that's when you see Sorry. Yeah, no, go ahead.
That's when he has that shift in his mind.
Right.
Or that's when he goes from...
Yeah, I'm the shit now.
I have to start believing in myself now.
Hey, hit your thing in the back real quick. All right, there it is. Yeah.
I have to start believing in myself because
No one else fucking does.
Yeah,
so I got to fucking do it. And at this point, he beats this thing like, yeah, I got to be able to do it. And like, you see that tonal shift when he faces that creature where he's like, oh, this thing's strong. Let's see how strong I am.
Yeah.
It's like, it wasn't all like, oh crap, all right, let's figure this shit out. Let's figure this shit. I was like, okay, I think I got this. And then that's literally after this episode, you see the whole, his whole body change too.
Right, yeah.
Because he runs into that thing and like, he sees that they're struggling. And like I said, like that's when you see the tonal shift where he's like, no longer, all right, if I do this, like, I wonder. And he just hurls the broken sword at the thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, I am him.
Yeah, he's like, oh shit. He just straight kills it, or gets it enough so that they can like...
They can finish it He breaks off its barrier and its shield.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we got this now. And they're like, but even the guy's like, wait a minute, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
Whatever, I'm taking credit for it.
Yeah, basically, yeah. They just take credit anyways.
Well, I was like, that's cool that you see him basically become a new character.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I didn't like the fact that his appearance changed, but I get it. He got tall. I get if he got like his haircut and he got like buff, but he got taller. He got like, he's like, he's a new person. It's like a new character. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. I didn't like that.
True. True. So then, the next episode, in episode five, he goes and he joins up with, the C rank hunter.
All these douches
and the five guys. It's like a mercenary group.
Yeah,
and they're going to go take out some C rank.
Well, it's him and the other dude too.
Yeah, I'm getting to that, right? So it's the C rank insect dungeon, and the contract says that he doesn't have to fight, but if he doesn't, he won't get any of the money.
Any of the extra loot.
Yeah. So Jinwoo's like, this is suspicious. So then that's when he meets this guy Jinho, which is a D rank first timer. He's a rich kid basically, and he's got the best and most powerful gear. So they go into this dungeon, and basically this kid is supposed to just protect Jinwoo because he's like, you know, obviously he's like E rank or whatever, and he's the lowest. And so this kid's just supposed to protect him and help carry some of the gear or whatever, right? Like that's just his job. So they're fighting all these ants and shit, like these giant waves of ants. And so they kill him.
Yeah, again, it was because of... This is also the other thing we saw that... Oh, yeah, his perception skills went up enough because of all the leveling up that he was able to see, oh, yeah, they're coming from above us.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, man, we didn't even... And I'm like, what do you mean they're insects? Why would you not look up?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what insect doesn't climb?
Yeah, true. That's true. I don't think any of them don't climb.
But again, it's because he had the perception and the mindset to, like, yeah, we're probably going to get ambushed.
Yeah.
So where these guys are like, it's a C-rank dungeon. Why would we be ambushed?
Yeah, who cares? That's what they were thinking. So then basically that's when they go and they find this giant fucking spider. And it's got these super valuable... Well,
that was after crystals. Like... That was before you're going ahead again where he's like... There's a whole point where he's like... He's piecing this all together. Like, wait a minute. These guys never have a healer.
Right.
They never have a full party. It's always just them four. And they always hire runoff mercenary characters, whatever.
Yeah.
To fill in the last two spots. Because the rules are you have to have at least six members to come into this.
You gotta have eight.
Whatever. But it was him and the other dude, the one with the full armor. Them two were the last ones
to get brought in.
Yeah. So it was them two. The other guys were a party. And it's always they always have two extra people and no healer. And it's like he's slowly piecing together like, oh, he remembers what that dude did, the one that lost his arm.
Yeah.
Told him about these type of hunters where there's no rules in the dungeon.
Yeah, basically.
So a lot of atrocities happen there and, you know, two less fucking people to share the loot with.
That's kind of, their whole mentality. And then this even further gets exacerbated because Jinho is reviewing the... contract that Jinwoo signed and says like, hey man, these crystals aren't battle drops. So, old buddy Jinwoo here gets a full share of this. Cause it's not a battle drop. And they're just like,
they all get mad at him. And like, yeah, you're right. Of course.
No big deal. Hey, you know what? We're going to go check over here now.
Stay here with the giant spider.
Yeah, stay here with the spider. And then they basically,
Cause the spider was asleep.
Yeah. And so they basically like abandon them and they're like, oh, this spider is going to kill the fuck out of them.
Well, they fucking attack it.
Yeah.
And the dungeon, the tunnel, so it would collapse.
Yeah.
So they would have no way of escaping, and they would awaken the spider.
Right, yeah. So they're like, oh, good, the spider will kill them, and then we can go in there and kill the spider. And so they're like, all right. So then Jinwoo's like, all right, man, I'm going to kill this motherfucker now. So then episode six, that's when they have the boss fight with the spider, right? It was a pretty good fight. It was pretty cool.
That wasn't the highlight of the episode.
No, it wasn't, but it was still cool nonetheless. So then essentially...
He defeats it pretty easily.
Yeah, pretty easily. I mean, without... There's a little bit of a, oh no, is he going to be able to do it? But then it's like, nah.
2 seconds.
Yeah, and then it's like, nah, he's got this. There's no fucking way.
And then what was great too was like, the kid realized, oh shit. He's one of those guys that hide their level.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably S rank, and he's just, fuck, I'm a witness to this. Oh yeah, boss, I'll do whatever you want, boss.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He thought he was that, but like, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, so then essentially Jin-ho is they're trying to coerce Jin-ho into killing Jin-woo. But Jin-ho tells him to fuck off. So now Jin-woo gets a new quest, which is to kill the whole group or else he's going to die.
Yep.
And so then that's when he just fucking massacres them. Like, destroys them. I mean, without even... It's with like no... effort whatsoever, basically. Yeah. It's with basically like no effort whatsoever.
But dude, it wasn't just no effort. It was fucking brutal.
Yeah, it was.
Like, when that one guy, I don't, again, why the fuck would you go up to somebody you've already confirmed to them that you're gonna kill, that you want them dead, you've already tried to kill them, and you're gonna walk up to them and be all
funny. Buddy, put your arm around their shoulder and be like, hey man, so look at it from our perspective.
Yeah.
Just fucking slices his neck open, just I'm like, fucking cool, but what the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah, idiot. That's what he was thinking. So he kills all these dudes, and they're like, and then Jin-ho, he's like, all right, Jin-ho, listen, bitch. We're just going to tell them that they all got killed by the dungeon monster, all right? Like,
and that we survived because of you.
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to tell him you did this. And he's like, oh, yeah, all right. For sure, player. Like,
whatever you got, boss.
Yeah, whatever you say, boss. So then that's... Oh, no. And then when we get into the episode seven, right,
And to touch on the thing at the end, was funny was because, again, people's fucking concept of how this world works now.
Yeah.
They didn't even begin to second question him because he changed the narrative enough to where it's like, oh, yeah, those guys got killed, but they were able to damage the spider enough for us to finish it off.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense because he has all this fancy armor and you're just a weak. You probably got in his way.
Right. Yeah. Basically, everybody buys it.
Yeah.
So then.
But then that's also when we find out about the dude's brother.
Yeah, that his brother is
an S rank here, one of those S ranks, and like,
yeah,
he's like, because in the whole episode he kept cursing his brother, like,
yeah,
my fucking younger brother. He thinks he's so great because he's whatever rank and whatever. Like, we didn't find out he's S rank until the end of the year, I think so. And then even as he's about to die, he goes, "Don't do this, man." He goes, "My brother, he's a powerful person."
Yeah, and he just straight kills him. So, yeah, in the next episode. Jin-ho tries to give Jin-woo a building since he helped him fulfill the requirements to like be.
Well,
like,
the trade-off was for him to finish helping him become a guild leader.
Yeah, to help him like do the requirements.
And so he was going to give him a building which was worth, was like 10 billion yen or something.
Yeah, some ridiculous.
What's the fucking soul? What does Korea use?
I don't know. I think it's the yuan maybe. I don't know. It's China. I don't know. Either way.
Let's see. No, China uses the yuan, right?
It's the yuan. Maybe it's the yuan.
No. South. I don't know what North Korea is, but it's nothing because they don't have money.
It's fucking beans and rice.
Yeah, it's the South Korean won.
The won? Yeah, yeah. All right.
So if it's, how much was it? Like 10 billion?
Yeah.
10 billion won to USD. 7.2 million.
That's a pretty good amount of money.
Yeah, 7,230,187.40.
That's right.
Fuck, what's the rate then?
Oh, who knows?
1 yuan, 72 cents. No, 0.00072 cents to 1 yuan. What's wrong?
Anyways.
Well, what are we gonna do about Hell of a Boss?
Oh, well, I don't know. Let's figure it out, I guess.
Figure it out.
I'll fuck with the internet first and then let's finish recording. Okay,
maybe that's why your internet goes out, because you keep fucking it.
Maybe. I don't know, man. It's just so attractive. I can't not fuck it, all right? It just wears that. It wears those clothes, and I can't help myself.
What clothes?
Exactly. Thanks. What I did there. Anyways, nah, fuck it. That's staying in. So then Jinwoo tells him to fuck off, and he's like, nah, I don't want it. And so then he starts seeing that his daily mission keeps like incrementing past the requirements or whatever.
Like, yeah, when he went jogging with his sister, he realized, hey, I just went over.
And it still counted it.
10.1.
Yeah. He's like, let me keep running and see what happens. Yeah.
He gets an extra secret award.
Yeah, he gets another instance key, which it's to an S rank dungeon. And it's a special potion that can heal any illness. And he's like, I can use it to kill my mom, bro. Yeah, we find out about the mom and all that shit. Now she's like basically in a coma. Yeah. She's sick of his shit. She's sick of their shit. Yeah, exactly. So then...
It was Monodrain or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Something weird that only happened when the portal was open.
Yeah. And so, basically, the first battle he goes in within the dungeon is against this guardian called Cerberus, which is a Cerberus dog, essentially. Awesome. Man, it almost kills his bitch ass, like, a bunch of times. And then he goes through all this crazy shit, uses, like, every ability, and then, like, he finally manages to kill this fucking thing.
He had to combine all three of his fucking abilities.
Yeah.
All three of his stat things. His high level, his fucking intelligence, and his fucking grit.
Yeah, so then he's like, all right, I know I'm going to die if I keep going on. So he's like, I gotta stop. I can't keep pushing on.
No, he beats it.
Yeah, he beats it, but then it says he can continue.
He can't go into the tunnel.
Yeah, because he's like, I can't, I'm not strong enough. So he's like, all right, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back later, and I'm going to fuck this shit up.
So yeah, he beats Cerberus. I'm sure even if he got like double levels from that, it wasn't strong.
Yeah, exactly. So then that's when we go through this whole thing with the guy Dong Suk, his brother.
Yeah.
His brother's name is Dong Su. And he...
I'm going to kill this kid. We're these two guys. One of them killed him. Where are they? Oh, they're right here. Cool. But you're busy until the next year. Can we push anything back? I mean, you can, but, you know...
Is it worth it?
Like,
he's like, yeah. Yeah, he's like, in 1 year, he's like, in 1 year, I'm gonna kill you assholes. When my schedule is finally free, I'm gonna kill you guys.
They're trying to make it seem like a very intimidating moment.
Yeah.
The most funniest thing ever. He's like, he killed my brother.
Oh, hey, click your thing.
Is it this thing?
It's maybe. All right, yeah, let it hang and see what happens. Maybe that'll help. All right, go ahead. Yeah, it's good now.
Yeah, all right. But it's like, okay, in a year. But just the fact that he was talking to them in this, like they were there, was funny.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. So then, that's when we get to, well, episode 7.5 is basically just a recap of the first 7 episodes.
That pissed me off.
I don't even know why.
It's a mini series. It was only 12 episodes. It didn't need a recap episode.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb. But
you know what reminded me of? The Clerks, the animated series?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Remember the second episode was a recap episode?
Yeah. It is funny though that I will give them the credit. At least they fucking named it there. They called it 7.5.
Yeah, 7.1 or some shit.
It wasn't a full fledged episode.
Yeah, that's why there's only 11 episodes on the. There's 13 episodes on the.
Yeah, on the other thing, but there's only like 12 on the other one.
No, like there's like it's supposed to be 12 episodes total.
But it's 13 because of that.
Yeah,
because they named it 7.5 or whatever. But anyway, so we get to the episode number 8, and Jinwoo goes to visit his mom, who's in a coma, obviously, and. He says nah, like he makes it known. I'm gonna get stronger, and I need to get these ingredients to get this potion or whatever, so I can save her. And
unfortunately, the only place to get those ingredients is in that castle, tower.
Yeah, in that tower, or whatever it was. So he's like, all right, fine. He goes back to Jin Ho, and he's like, listen, I'll help your bitch ass out in running these dungeons, so you can make your own guild. And he's like, so what we got to do? And he's like, but I need to do this to level up, basically. So like, I'm gonna do this.
Not only that, but the money is also gonna help.
Right? Yeah. So then they basically to fulfill the requirements for C rank dungeons, the Hunters Association gets survivors of the double dungeon raid, which is Jinwoo, Juhee, Chi Yul, Kim Sang Shik, and Kang Jongo. Uh-huh. which are the ones that five people that survived. And they said, hey, man, there's a shortage of hunters in the area. We basically are going to take some prisoners and we're going to throw them in with this shit.
Oh, yeah, this episode.
And so they serve in exchange to getting like reduced sentences. They're like, hey, yeah, we're prisoners, but like, oh, you give us some reduced sentences and then like we'll go do missions. So there's the B-rank, that B-rank guy, Kang Tashik or whatever his name is. He's the one that's overseeing this whole shit. So basically in episode 9, we get into them doing this mission. There's this three-way split up. So they all split up. So Kang basically uses the separation to kill the prisoners at the victim's father, who basically paid this dude.
So you're thinking, this makes you think, oh man, this guy's going to kill him for like, these guys are horrible. They killed... And the guy's like, oh, yeah, that guy paid. Then he has that big old creepy smile. But I'm not doing it for the money.
Yeah, exactly.
This is fun.
Yeah, this is just fun.
I'll get a creeper anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And so then basically they the other two.
Does he have the same speed ability that what's the thing he has now?
Yeah, I think he does.
Or this is where he gets it because he kills
them. Oh, no. Yeah, this is where I think he gets that extra speed ability. So then the Jung-ho and Sang-shik, they end up stumbling across this guy killing this
fucker. No witnesses.
And so he's like, well, sorry, bitch. Gotta kill you. You gotta die. No witnesses. So that's when...
The other party stumbles upon... They stumble upon him killing the prisoners. They stumble upon him killing them for watching him kill the prisoners.
Killing the witnesses. And so then that's when he's like, oh, you son of a bitch. So then Jinwoo busts out that new power to kill Kang.
And then you find out, oh, he has it too or some shit like
that. Yeah, and then you're like, oh, shit. So then... That's when Chi Yul basically covers for Jinwoo and says like, oh no, this was all fucking crazy and like whatever. So then later that night, Joo-hee asks Jinwoo if he remembers and he holds up that like fucking essence stone or whatever.
Oh yeah, that she gave her before she left.
Yeah. And so then...
To go on their date.
Yeah, exactly.
But now that he's hot, he doesn't want anything to do with her.
Right, basically. He's like, fuck off, bitch. That was then.
I got options now.
Yeah.
Including my sister.
Yeah. which is weird, but yes.
So again, it's a joke from the Abridged
series. Yeah. So then the next episode, basically, Joo-hee tells him that, like, hey, she's retiring and that's it. Like, but hey, you can look me up if you want to, you know, if you're ever at home, just chilling, you know, like, just look me up. So then Jin-ho, old good buddy, rich kid Jin-ho, he buys the rights to, like, a bunch of C-rank dungeons. And he gets all these low-ranked hunters to fill in the requirements. So basically, he just pays them to wait outside.
Yep. Him
and Jinwoo go in and just clear the shit. Yeah. Basically, it's just Jinwoo clearing the shit.
And then he also has the mine and stuff, right?
Yeah. He mines and stuff or whatever. And so then there's the White Tiger Guild.
Then this is also when they introduce the sister's friend, where we find out that she's also a C-ranked hunter, and she was one of the ones that got hired for the tunnel for the things.
Yeah, I think you're right. We do get introduced to her and that.
Obviously, they introduced her, so obviously she must hopefully play a part in the next season.
I'm sure season two she'll play some kind of role
because she was very little into this.
Yeah, there was like it was just like that one scene, and then that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, no, because they did like 10-second scenes in previous episodes.
Yeah,
to build up to her meeting up to him, which I'm assuming is gonna be her. Hey. I was C-class too. How'd you get so strong?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know, maybe, but they built her up for 3 episodes to introduce her for five seconds.
Yeah, pretty much. So then, let's see. So then that's when the White Tiger Guild manager notices Jinwoo's name on all these fucking things. And he starts like putting it together. And he's like, oh, this motherfucker must have reawakened. Like, there's no other way.
Jinwoo should have figured this out. Like, hey.
People are going to notice.
People are going to... Because he spent a good amount of effort keeping himself hidden, keeping everything hidden. To his credit, he didn't think anybody else had critical thinking skills anymore. Because, you know, everything else is shown otherwise.
Right. So
then this guy is actually...
Yeah, and this dude keeps trying to recruit him. But he keeps, like... Jinwoo tells him to fuck off, man. I'm not interested. Like, there's no...
I'm only C-rank, man.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do, player? Like, what are you going to do? So then... Jinwoo gets that message saying that he achieved a level requirement and now he has the ability or he's offered a job change
request. Well, he now has it, but
he didn't have a job
yet.
But now, but it's a job change request, but it's like, oh shit, now he can basically, he can go from having no job to.
Well, no, that doesn't happen until the end though.
Yeah, it's the job change quest.
Yeah, but that happens at the end.
No, this is the end. That was episode 10. This is, we're on episode 10 now. And then episode 11 and 12 are when, oh, 11's when he does it, I think. So yeah, so then that's when we get into the next episode of 11, and that's when he starts the job change quest.
Yeah, that was the gauntlet, right?
Yeah, the gauntlet with the knights and shit. The what are those, the dead knights or whatever, and assassins and mages and all that shit.
Which is weird, because he's obviously a rogue build.
Yeah, right.
So the fact that he gets a necromancer title,
yeah,
seems kind of weird, but at the same time, it's going to be broken.
Yeah, true.
Which is funny, too, because then he's definitely not going to need those fucking other adventurers anymore.
Oh, definitely not.
Because as he kills things,
he can just make his own army.
Yeah.
Which is basically what he does at the end of the episode.
Yeah, dude, the fucking... I didn't see the English version of it yet, but I saw the Japanese version.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, there's that scene where he gets the title and he goes, please come up with your command word.
Yeah.
He's like, blah, 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 come up. Arise.
Yeah, yeah.
Even in the English version, it's like, he did a good job. He's like... the voice actor, he posted like a thing on TikTok or whatever, where it was him and the voice director.
Uh-huh.
He's like, okay, it's time. Okay. Arise. No. England. And like, it's just him purposely fucking shit up.
Yeah.
And then like, he just, arise. Like, he finally says it right. And he's like asleep. Like, oh my, and the girl's like, oh my God, that's it. You did it. We're done. But it's like, yeah. So I still haven't seen the English version of it, but the Japanese version was fucking sick when he finally said, arise, and they all come up. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So...
Because he's going through this gauntlet where where not only is he fighting nonstop, creatures are getting stronger and stronger. His magic items, his potions to heal aren't working.
Yeah.
His potions to heal, the only thing that was going to save him, he didn't even know if it was going to work, was he never accepted the rewards he gets for completing the daily tasks.
Right, yeah.
One of them being was to fully restore you. So he hadn't accepted it yet. So he's hoping that that will work, even though magic items weren't working to heal him.
Yeah.
Which we find out,
It does.
Because it saves him.
Right. And so then he ends up fighting the Blood Red Knight Commander.
Fuck this fucking battle scene. This fight scene was so fucking good.
Yeah. I mean, he fucking like this thing was just as powerful as him, if not more stronger. Powerful than Jinwoo.
It has to be stronger because. No, his thing was red, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like, it goes with the theme where he's always fighting something stronger than himself to become stronger.
Yeah.
And just, this is probably one of the best animated fights I had seen in a very long time, man.
Yeah, yeah. And so once he defeats the Knight Commander, right, it activates the job change quest. Like, it actually activates. He's like, oh, shit. And so he's like, I'm about to die. And so then it's just this unending horde of the monsters that he already killed, like, on the way to the chamber. And so it cuts from there, and it goes to... showing the S-rank hunters of Korea gathering and heading for that Jeju Island.
Yeah, the one where the first gate opened and they weren't able to stop it.
Yeah, and so that's kind of where the episode ends. And then we get into the final episode 12, which is titled, appropriately, Arise.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like overwhelmed by these fucking, this horde of monsters, right? And so he's like, fuck, what am I going to do? So then he's like...
I got to hear it now.
All right.
Because, I mean, you haven't heard the Japanese version, so...
That's true.
But I mean, that shit was just so fucking cool. Continue.
So then he's like, fuck, man, I'm not going to live. But he's like, I got nowhere to go but forward. So then he realizes that the timer for his daily quest is about to expire, which is the one to do like your PT or whatever.
Oh, here. This is both of them put together. Okiro.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
English one was better.
Yeah, I think it was.
Akiro.
Yeah, so then he says fuck it. He lets the timer expire, and then it transfers to the penalty zone right as he's about to die. And he's like, oh, thank God, I can kill these things easily.
Yeah, because now the worms are weaker than him.
They're green, yeah. So then he's like, oh, good. So then he just spends his time there just recovering.
Yeah.
And then...
because that magic drink, that whole non-be able to heal, wasn't in this world. It was only in the... the dungeon.
The dungeon, yeah.
So in this world, he was able to heal. He was able to give.
So then after he recovers and everything, the 12 hours passes. Again,
level 100. Level, what was it? 100 IQ player move.
It's that big brain galaxy maneuvers. Yeah. So then he gets returned to the castle. And then that's when, after the timer's up, and then boom, he fucking defeats the first horde, or the horde, right? Mm-hmm. So as the reward he gets the title Shadow Monarch.
Yeah.
And now he's like, essentially, he's a necromancer.
Well, that was the job change title.
Yeah. And so then he now has the ability to bring back the dead and use them as his like shadow army. And so he's like kind of doing it. He brings back fucking the Blood Commander as his like main guy. That's when he says the thing about Arise or whatever.
Yeah, the whole thing. No longer will you defend an empty chair. You will defend me, your new master, your new king. Arise.
Yeah, and then they all fucking get up and he's like, fuck yeah.
That's so cool.
It is so cool. And then that's basically when it ends the episode, but then we get like that credits sequence at the end of those S-rank hunters basically going to Jeju Island and figuring out that the S-rank monsters have started to evolve.
Yeah.
And become more powerful.
I'm wondering if that's happening because this fool became a player.
It's gotta be because of that. It's like a direct response. Now the difficulty level needs to change.
Hey, you guys got a handy, because we've been playing on a handicap. The monsters, I mean.
Yeah.
We're S-ranking. Only a handful of your humans can become hunters. And out of that handful, only a smaller handful become S-rank.
Right.
So we have unlimited S-rank monsters.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. They have a player that can surpass all ranking. All right. I guess we have to start leveling up, too.
Yeah. So then that's going to be interesting to see where this goes for season two. Who knows when?
Or could it be an effect of being in our world?
Could be that too. Maybe evolution now applies to them when they're in our world.
That's a good idea.
Because what if they didn't have that in their world, and now that they're here, the rules of our world apply to them.
Is that why people can't rank up here? Because evolution no longer applies to them.
Yeah, because it's something from the outside world, so that evolution can't apply to it unless the game allows it.
And then him becoming a player is him being of both worlds.
That's true. Yeah, that could be it.
So if he has the power of both worlds. Because, yeah, that would be fucking sick if the power of our creatures that we have here is evolution.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like the whole thing with, I don't know if you watch, what's that show, Invincible?
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know how the Viltrumites are all these all-powerful beings?
Yeah.
And Mark, the main character, he's half Viltrumite, half human.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that he's half human is actually his biggest strength. Because humans have something the Viltrumites don't have, which is adrenaline.
Yeah.
Which, you know. Anyone can tell you, once the adrenaline kicks in, you become something different.
Yeah. Invincible, if you will.
Yeah, if you will. That was a good one. But yeah, so I was wondering if it's like that, where like something we don't even think about. Like,
yeah.
Adrenaline, yeah, we know about it, but we don't really think about it as being something, as a great, like, what's not equalizer?
Like an advantage?
Advantage. So what is it that we don't see evolution as our great advantage?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's a good theory, dude.
It is. I think that's where it's going.
I really like that one.
So I hope I'm right, man. I almost want to read the manga just to fucking what?
I'm saying that's the clip.
Oh, what, at an hour and
you coming up with this theory?
22. All right, I'll figure out the exact time and then tell Adam to. Adam. but yeah, I think that's the. I feel like that's the theory, man. That's got to be it. I hope so.
Because either they evolved because they're in our world now and they have evolution, or they're evolving because of Jinwoo.
Right, yeah. It could be. It could be a direct response, or it just could be, oh, now they can do it because
they're in our world.
They're in our world, so.
So, because that's the only gate that's been open and not been closed, right?
Right,
If I remember correctly?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're stuck on that island because they can't get off of it.
Until they evolve.
To get off of it, which is probably what's going to happen.
Right? It's kind of like that scene from, was it Jurassic Park? Where they're leaving didn't they do it in both movies where they're leaving the island, in 1 and 3, and the fucking pterodactyls are flying near them?
Right, yeah.
It's like, oh, like what was that stupid line? Oh, I dare them to go to New York. What the fuck's New York gonna do?
Yeah, serious.
I don't know why, but that reminded me of the Hit Patrol Line Crosser. Every time he plays the S-22, I am the scariest fucking thing to ever fly since the Cretaceous period.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah. Go check out CUP.
Yeah, Central Intelligence Podcast. Our other podcast, if you want to hear about that, one of our many others. Anyways, yeah, I almost want to read the manga because I want to know.
I think this one's a light novel
or whatever it is.
Well, that's the thing I was going to tell you.
in the near future, not this week, maybe next paycheck, maybe. Because I'm getting that new Samsung tablet.
Oh yeah.
Because the whole I found out this whole thing about the whole manga reader I like to use. So, because I'm not gonna watch the Boruto anime, I've already made that decision.
Okay.
Because it's like 80 to 95% filler.
Oh, that sucks.
But what's his name? I forget his name. They have the Otaku podcast or the Anime Nerd podcast. I forget what it is. It's like the second most popular anime podcast. He keeps talking about how good the manga is. And it's, I think it's right behind JJK in sales. If I'm, don't quote me on that because I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
So I've come to the decision that I'm going to start reading the manga. Because that's how I finished Naruto. I started as an anime, but you know, it got to the point where it caught up and I'm like, I need more. I'm at where I was at where you're at right now.
Yeah.
And I picked up the manga. I started going through Manga Panda.
Right. Yeah.
Rip. I started going through Manga Panda and that's how I fucking finished it. I couldn't finish out Manga Panda because literally when Naruto ended, every free manga site that had you know that you can read the manga, fucking crashed. They fucking crashed Reddit.
Damn,
I had to go on Imgur, and someone had uploaded it. I had to find a backdoor way to fucking finish reading Naruto because all the sites crashed. Just to show how fucking great a phenomenon Naruto was. No other manga has done that, but anime has, which was One Piece when. Luffy went Gear 5, they crashed the Crunchyroll servers.
Goddamn.
They crashed the Reddit ones. And YouTube, you know, YouTube doesn't allow that shit. So
yeah.
It was on YouTube at the time. Or obviously now. But I'm just saying, and then of course Bleach didn't break any servers, but it broke the news when they finally came back.
True.
So it just shows the power that the big three have.
That's true.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, I fucking love JJK. I know you're gonna love it.
Yeah.
But people calling it the big three killer is the dumbest thing I ever fucking heard.
Yeah.
What Tracy said it best. There's no next big three. There's no new big three. There's only the big three, which is Naruto, Bleach, One Piece. We're not calling them that because we're being nostalgic. We're not calling them that. We're calling them that because they did something to this day that hasn't been repeated, which was they came out at the same time, around the same time. Yeah. They were number ones in their manga sales. Like, they were number one in their respective fields. They were able to go toe-to-toe at the time with the Dragon Ball Z manga releases.
Yeah.
Which, again, is unheard of at the time.
Yeah.
For that reason, they were given that title of the big three. And it's stupid to say, hey, I mean, One Piece is probably going to go on. One Piece, like Rick and Morty, like One Piece forever.
Yeah.
Could probably go on for forever, but again, I need to start. I am making this swear that I'm going to start watching One Piece. Because, I know everything about Naruto and One Piece and Bleach. It's time I finish the trio.
Yeah.
So stay tuned to join me on that journey.
God, it's going to take fucking years.
Nah, I'm going to do it like you, like probably try to get through like 12 to 13 episodes per. Hey, if the new generation of anime fans got through it during the pandemic, I can do it.
I guess that's true.
But the question is, should I do it anime or should I do it manga? Because I'm going to start Boruto.
Yeah.
I don't know. It took me a week to catch up to the manga after the anime. So I don't know how long that is to comparison.
Yeah.
So maybe I could catch up with Boruto. Nah, I didn't do anime. I did Bleach. I did Naruto and Bleach as anime. But yeah, like I'm saying, like that's how I started manga was because being in the position you are right now, where fuck, this anime was great. I can't wait for some Chinese kids to draw it up and make it into animation.
Yeah,
I need to find out now
in 18 months.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. But like, I almost don't want to fucking ruin it.
Honestly, dude, it enriched Naruto for me.
Oh yeah,
it did. It right. ruined the anime of Kyoto Hitman Reborn. It ruined that anime. Like, I couldn't watch the anime anymore after I started reading the manga for that.
Yeah,
but then at one point, it didn't matter because the anime then ended before the manga did.
Ah, I got you.
So, but for Naruto, it actually enhanced it because it was like the best way I can describe it is the Demon Slayer, episode 19.
Yeah.
Season 1, 19. Everybody knows this episode because it was the episode of the animation. It was the episode that UFO Table proved we're the fucking, we know what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah.
And that animation proved it. And reading it as a manga panel was fucking cool. It was sick to see it.
Yeah.
But then to see it translated to animation and to that unique 3D animation style that UFO Tables does was fucking amazing. So in that sense, it could also enhance. And Solo Leveling, they've shown that they're not holding back on that animation budget.
Yeah.
So I have faith that if you started reading the manga, I think it'll only enhance it.
Probably. All right, well, I guess I'm going to have to start reading the manga, and then maybe we'll...
Well, we got to find a website that has it.
Yeah, I know, that's true.
Because I think it's one of those pay-to-read ones.
Oh, well, I'll have to see what we can do.
Because, you know, we can't do the Pirate Bay anymore, so...
That's true. Damn, God damn it. Press F to pay respect. anyways, all right, well, that was Solo Leveling, so...
So, overall rating?
Oh, fucking... Like, what do you mean? Like a...
Out of 10.
Number, like a number score out of 10? Oh, man. This was a 9 out of 10 for sure. I mean, might even be a 9.5, but I'm just to make it simple, I'm just going to keep it at a 9.
I was actually going to say 8.5.
8.5? Well, we're close.
Yeah.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. So I think I'm looking forward to the next thing of it. And like I said, I'm going to read the manga.
Since we did, I forgot to ask you last one. What was your ranking overall for Overlord?
Overall seasons 1 to 4?
Because I know number 1, you gave it a 9.5 like me.
Yeah.
Or you gave it a 9.
I think I gave it a 9, yeah.
Number 2, you gave it a 9. I gave it a 9. You gave it like an 8.
I gave it an 8, yeah.
And then season 3, I don't think you gave it a rating.
I don't think I did either. Season 3 was... that one was lower. That was like a 7.5 because that was like all the preamble to get to season
4. I would have gave it an 8 on that one, yeah.
Yeah, and I think season 4, I think I'd go back and give that one a 9.
I gave that one a 9.5.
Yeah, so I think that was much better. So that's where I'm at.
Cool. All right, so this night for real. Next episode, I have a little special episode I want to do. And after that, Josh is going to start his journey on JJK.
JK.
JK. All right, then. So send us off, Josh.
All right, so yeah, thank you guys for listening to this. Man, this was a long one, hour and 32 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't feel like it.
We didn't even go this hard on Overlord.
Nah, man. I don't know. It's
shit, is this our longest episode?
Oh no, our longest episode was like 2.5 hours of this.
Which one was that?
Fuck, I don't know. One of them beforehand. It was like one of the early ones. It was like two, it was definitely at least 2 hours or thereabouts. I think it was 2.5 or close to that. I can go back and maybe look. I don't know.
I'll look it up, sorry.
But anyways, so yeah, this will be the end of the episode. So thank you guys for listening. You can check us out at Game Rage Magazine on Instagram and TikTok. And then you can check us out at Game Rage Mag on Twitter/X. If you love our podcast, if you love listening to us talk about anime and you like other topics that are not anime, we have like 15 different fucking podcasts at this point. And we have a whole network of podcasts that are all generally niche specific. So, you know, we have the anime one. We have a music podcast. We have which is All Gas, No Trash. We have a... what is it? We have a geopolitics, central intelligence. We have a regular, like just exclusive to America politics, no party preference. We have our newly to be coming soon, tabletop gaming podcast, which is where we play D&D and 40K and pretty much anything that's a tabletop. We're going to play on there.
Uno, bitch.
Yeah. There will be an Uno episode, I think, at some point.
There's definitely going to be a Card Against Humanity once we get enough people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Once we get like more than just... Oh, fuck. We can have Katie on that one because she like loves playing that game.
Fuck, so. Yeah.
It'll be four of us. That's good.
Her, Ruben, maybe Ethan.
Oh, yeah.
And then that'll be,
yeah, to be continued. We'll see. But anyways, check out Slice of Dice. That's going to be coming out soon if you want to hear that kind of stuff. And again, go to GameRageMagazine.com. We have all the fucking podcasts on there. They're everywhere. So you can check it out. They're on every streaming service as well. So if... Whatever your streaming service is of choice, it's likely on there. Anyways, with that, thank you guys for listening. And, well, we'll catch you on the next one.